Jesus is Lord. To be the church to the broken and the powerless. To be bold about the name of Christ. To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. That last one. Be grateful for the struggles. Oh, thank you. James said that one struck him pretty good here lately. It's kind of difficult sometimes. That's why I paused on that, because I knew that was coming up. I don't know if you guys know how much of a struggle it is to stand up here. Amen. Wanda knows. It is. It's tough. It's tough. When we pray whoever's going to be up here and preaching that night, we pray for them. One night, Christina had her hand on my chest, and afterwards she goes, I could feel it all the way through. And I said, that never stops. So let me go ahead and jump into this message. So some of us grew up in church. I did. I went to Sunday school as a little kid, and then we didn't have youth group or anything like that, but we had Sunday school class, even all the way up until I was a teenager. And one of the things that they suggested us do, and they taught us real young, was to memorize scripture, memorize verses of the Bible. And so I was thinking about that earlier this week, and how important that is to memorize scripture and verses. And then I started thinking about some of the folks that come to this church and some people who are just now stepping into finding out who Jesus is and finding out how the Bible reads and reading the Bible on a daily basis. And in our recovery meetings and stuff like that, the AA groups and stuff, you hear of people just learning about God. So, I was talking to John at lunch, and I said, you know what, how hard is it to write a message without the internet? Because none of us guys know. He knows. When I first met John in his office, he had a library probably as big as this curtains. And if you had to think of a scripture, see, I'm not very good at memorizing scripture. I've never have been, but I do memorize pieces. But I don't know where they're at. I have no clue where to find it. And so if I was in John's shoes way back then, boy, I got to find me a book. And then I got to figure out how to get to that place. But now we just have Google, where we just punch in a phrase and it'll take us straight to the scripture.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I would never get one of these written. So, but with all that being said, open your bulletin to the inside right-hand side. And here's the first thing I want you to write down. Do righteousness and unrighteousness affect your prayers? Does righteousness and unrighteousness affect your prayers? So, the first scripture that I want to read, we're all really familiar with it. We're real familiar with it. We say it every week. We hear it every week here at Serenity Church. Now, what I'm about to say is really important. Where I'm reading the scripture from is the NIV. And the NIV is the Bible that we give out here. Most everybody uses that. And so how that reads is James 5:16. And how that reads is, therefore, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Okay, so say you're a new Christian, or say you've even been around a while, because once I saw this, it kind of was like, holy, I need to go study. I need to figure out why. Remember, that was in the NIV. So say you're reading along there, and you read that scripture one day, and then you go, you know what? I'm going to turn to the book of Romans. I don't know a whole lot about Romans. I'm going to turn to the book of Romans and read. And you're reading along there, and you come to Romans 3:10. And Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. How confusing is that? We say every week the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Then you go to Romans and it says there's no one righteous, not even one. What are you supposed to do with that? What are you supposed to do with that? So, here's the deal. It happened to me. I've been memorizing scripture. I've been reading the Bible. I saw that and was like, wait a minute. What do you do with that? So I went to this particular Bible. When you come across some scripture like that that just doesn't make sense, maybe contradicting another scripture, you got to figure it out. You got to. I do. I have to figure it out. It's study. And so you go to a different translation. And the Bible that I use, it's a Bible that John gave me. It was in his dad's library. The night they ordained me here, John wrote in it and he gave it to me and said it was one of his dad's. It was in his dad's library. And it was it's a translation that I never knew anything about. It's a New Century translation. And so I was looking at this thing and reading it, and it reads real easy. It reads real plain. And so I Googled it. What grade level is this written on? And it said fifth grade. Thank you, Mr. Featherston. He knew what I needed. So let's look in the New Century Version. Now, here's the cool deal. If you're using a Bible app, they have all these versions. They have multiple versions of the Bible. The New Century Version's in there, so it's not off the wall, strange. It's in here. So the New Century Version, James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Amen. When a believing person prays, this is in your notes, I believe, a righteous person equals a believing person. So that cleared that right up for me. That cleared that right up for me. I now know that when a righteous person prays, their prayers are powerful and effective. When a believing person prays, their prayers are powerful and effective. So let's go to Romans in the New Century Version. Romans 3:10 says, as the scriptures say, there is no one who always does right, not even one. I can go with that. It just took the word unrighteousness all out of there. I understand that. So here's what's going to happen to you. If you look at the Bible, if you read scripture, you're going to come across stuff like this. You will. You will come across stuff like this, because there's so many different translations, and different words were used for different things. And this one jumped off the page at me. This one just jumped right at me and said, wait a minute, because I knew the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and I knew already there's no one righteous. So how can that be? And so that made me do this little bit of study. So how do we become righteous? How do we become a believer? Because I want my prayers to be powerful. I want my prayers to be effective. So what I just read means I need to be a believer for that to happen. So let's go back to the NIV. I'm going to have y'all jumping back and forth all through this. Back to the NIV, Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's given to you freely. It's a free gift. You don't have to go earn it. You don't have to go earn your righteousness. You just have to believe in Jesus. Isn't that great? All you have to do is believe. Okay, here's another note, something you need to write down. So unrighteousness would be someone who doesn't believe. Right? Wouldn't that? So someone that has heard the truth. Someone that has heard the truth, yet still rejects it. I would say is a pretty unrighteous person. Back to my original question several messages ago. Does Jesus answer all our prayers? Does he answer prayers from the unrighteous? Yeah, he answers all our prayers. Yes, no, not right now, wait, all that. But I wanted to know if he answers prayers to the unrighteous, to the person who does not believe, to the person who has been taught the truth, to the person who has been told there was a man named Jesus. He was sent here by God. We crucified him. We put him in a grave. And in 3 days he rose again, all for you, so you could live forever in heaven. And still rejected it? Does God hear a prayer from that person? New Century Version, Proverbs 28:9. If you refuse to obey what you have been taught, your prayers will not be heard. That's pretty plain right there, isn't it? If you refuse, I think that's a key word too. If you refuse to obey what you've been taught, your prayers will not be heard. So then I had another question I asked myself. What about the unbeliever who's willing to believe? No, I don't believe this. It doesn't make any sense to me. But if it's true, I need to know. I need to figure it out. There was a story Lori Lanier told, and it just matches what I'm just talking about. She came in, and I can say this because she shares it in meetings. She shared it from up here before. When she first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, she struggled a lot. And there was her sponsor told her, here's what I want you to go do. I want you to go home, get down on your knees and pray. And Lori says, why? I don't even believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. This is a bunch of fairy tale stuff. And her sponsor said, well, I didn't ask you if you believe. I just told you to go pray. And so she did. The Alcoholics Anonymous book talks about that on page 47. A willingness. It says, we need to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. There's that word again, effective. See, this willingness, she displayed the willingness, okay, I'll go home and pray. I don't know who I'm praying to. I'll just do it. I need it revealed to me. Help me, Lord. This reminded me of a story, and of course, I didn't know exactly where it was at in the Bible, so I Googled it. And Mark 9, it's 14 through 29, and it's where Jesus heals a sick boy. In this story, some disciples were around this boy, and they were trying to heal him. Jesus had already given the disciples the power to heal at this point, and they were doing all they could to try to heal this boy, and nothing was happening. They said that he had an evil spirit, but the way you see it described in the Bible, it sounds a lot like epilepsy. He would stiffen up, he would foam at the mouth, he would shake, he couldn't talk. He'd knock his legs out from under, and he'd flop around on the ground. It sounds a lot like epilepsy. And so Jesus shows up and sees the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, arguing with the disciples. And the boy's dad tells Jesus, my boy is sick. And he falls down on the ground, and he shakes and foams at the mouth. And so I want to pick up at Mark 9:22, and this is the dad talking to Jesus. He said, the spirit often throws him into a fire or onto water or into water to kill him. If you can, so there's some doubt. He's talking to Jesus. If you can do anything for him, please have pity on us. Help us. Help us. Jesus said to the Father, you said, if I can, I can just see him. You know what I mean? You don't know who I am, do you? If I can, all things are possible for the one who believes. There's that again. For the one who believes. This is in your notes right here. The Father cried out, I do believe. Help me to believe more. That's in the New Century Version. Okay, in the NIV, it says, immediately the Father cried out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That's pretty important. I do believe, help me. Just a few verses up, he said, help us. Help me with my unbelief. Let's start at verse 25 and continue to read. When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he ordered the evil spirit, saying, you spirit that makes people unable to hear or speak, I command you to come out I command you to come out this body, this boy, and never enter him again. The evil spirit screamed and caused the boy to fall onto the ground. The spirit came out. The boy looked as if he were dead, and many people said, "He is dead." But Jesus took hold of the boy's hand and helped him to stand. Then Jesus went into the house, and the followers began asking him privately, "Why couldn't we force the evil out?" And Jesus answered, "That kind of spirit can only be forced out by prayer. That kind of spirit can only be forced out by prayer." Did you hear? It can only be overcome by prayer. In this particular scripture right there, what I just read, who was doing the praying? The Father. The Father was doing the praying the whole time. He said, "Help us." He said, "Help me with my unbelief. Help me believe." And that's key, because he was willing to believe. I have a thought about this. Like, so this was a Jew. The dad was a Jew. And so growing up a Jew, obviously you believe in God, right? But here's this man, Jesus. Who is he? If you can, he didn't know who he was. He knew who God was, but he didn't know who Jesus was. Help me with my unbelief. Show me. That's my prayer to you. Help me. And Jesus did. So it's obvious that if you are willing to believe, he will answer your prayer.
Amen.
If you're willing to believe, if you have doubt, are you kidding me? If you say you don't have doubt, you're a liar. If you say that you've always believed and you always got Jesus right there beside you, and you say that and you say, I never doubt. Whew, I'm going to stand beside. I'm going to have to get away from you. You're about to get struck by lightning. So, help us, Lord. Help us with our unbelief. Help us with our doubt. That was the Father's prayer. And his son was healed. So, who needs prayer? Come on. Come on. Now you're being honest. Everyone needs prayer. Everyone. Who in here tonight is a believer? Man, I'm looking around. Who's sitting here tonight is a believer? Who's a believer? Wow, that's a lot of hands. Y'all's prayers are powerful and effective. How's that feel? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to know that when you pray, that it has power?
Amen.
Because you're a believer. Who in here, if they have the opportunity to pray for someone, will pray for someone? Whew, me too. I've gotten to where, you know, hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Yeah, yeah. Right now. I have to right now. You know why? Because I'll go, "I pray for you." Oh, man, what are we having for supper? I mean, I'll forget that quick. I have to pray for you right now. So we had a whole bunch of hands that went up when I said, "Are you willing to pray for other people?" I'm going to ask six of you to come up front right now. I'm not picking you. Or seven, I don't care. Come on. Just a second ago, I asked, who needs prayer? I think I saw every hand in the room. These people are willing to pray for you. I don't see any reason why there should be a butt still sitting in the seat. Jonah's going to play a little bit of something back here. Take this opportunity. There's someone standing right here that's willing to say a prayer over you. Now, don't come up here and give them your life story. God knows it. God knows your life story. If you don't know each other, ask them their name. If you don't know them, pray for them by name. Ask for blessings in their life. Spend 30 seconds. And if you feel prompted to, pray for them. Pray for them. Let me go ahead and get this started. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your son. Help us, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. Help us when we have doubt. Help us with our unbelief. Lord, bring the people that need to experience Serenity Church. As I said earlier, you know who you're working with. So you have to give us the strength, the power. Lord, make our prayers powerful and effective. We believe in you and all these things. Amen.